November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. What is up, America? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program, although this is not Todd Starnes. He is traveling today. I am assuming he is probably stuck in some of that crazy flight shenanigans going on around the country because of the shutdown, although that could be ending relatively soon. There is so much to talk about. You want to talk about trying to drink out of a fire hose first thing on a Monday as you start off a whole brand new week, then that's what we're about to do, and we're going to cover it all right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome into it. My name is Andy Hoosier. We are moving the Liberty University studios from Memphis, Tennessee out to Wichita, Kansas again, as we are broadcasting right here in Wichita's Big Talker KQAM, my flagship station in Wichita, Kansas, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. And holy cow, man, I'm just trying to digest what's going on in the world. You're supposed to have like a relatively calming, relaxing weekend, and then we come in and start all the shenanigans over again for a Monday. So welcome into it, and I want to hear from you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. There is a lot of breaking news that's happening today, and do you agree with the idea the government shutdown potentially ending for a Monday today?
Say what?
I know. What does that mean? Where are we at with this? What are the details of this bill, and what are Democrats doing? Now, Democrats, I know Todd's talked about it. We've said it before as well. I'm a little concerned. I was wondering when I heard the headlines on Sunday, and they said that eight Democrats got on board to vote for a 60-40 procedural vote. And for those that don't understand the process, they're in a procedural vote now to where they voted for it. Now they have 20 to 30 hours of debate and conversation on the Senate floor before the official bill actually comes up to be voted on a yay or nay. So that's the process that's going on now. And Dylan, keep me apprised if you hear any or see anybody else speaking on the Senate floor. We may go live to that because a few people have popped up here, and there's essentially nobody there. But it's an opportunity for senators to come up and say whether they agree or disagree, what their thoughts are on the bill before the bill actually gets voted on. Now, the fact that it's an amended continuing resolution means that the Senate will vote on it, and then it will have to go back to the House of Representatives. Speaker Mike Johnson did make a statement and held a press conference first thing this morning that said that once it does float back to the House to be ready, he has everybody on standby, and they're ready to rock and roll again.
So here's where we are by way of schedule, just so you know, you're following. And if you're not at home, if you're waking up to this good news this morning, that the Senate's vote late last night of 60 to 40 opens the door now. The Senate is moving forward on an amended House CR, a continuing resolution, that will reopen the government until January 30th. Added to that are provisions to fully fund SNAP provisions through the end of the next fiscal year, which is September 2026, guaranteed back pay for all federal workers who have been made to endure these hardships over the last several weeks. And it also includes passage of three appropriations bills, which we're grateful to be moving through the process. Construction Veterans Affairs Bill, it's the Agriculture Bill, and the Legislative Branch Bill. The Senate will be back in session this morning to finish their job, and we're certainly praying that unanimous consent from all senators to fast-track their final vote. As you know, there are some procedural hurdles that one or more could throw in the way, but we certainly hope that they won't do that because so many people across this country are desperate for the government to reopen.
All right, so here's where we're at. We're at the middle of the conversation with the procedural vote. We pass that. We move it to the House. The House votes on it there. We get it to the president's desk, and it happens. Now, what are the details of this bill? And my question right out of the gate, when I heard that we had Democrats finally come in, because we ended last week with them kind of really hoorahed, really excited. Republicans were a bit frustrated. They finally had a few Democrats that were about ready to join Republicans in voting for the continuing resolution, finding a way to actually get things opened up again. And then the election happened. They had a luncheon on Friday, and then Democrats came out with this big plan on Friday that said, hey, no, we're going to advocate, this is our quote-unquote compromise, that we're going to extend the Obamacare subsidies for one more year, we're going to create a task force, we're going to sit down and look at it for moving forward and what we do, and this is our pitch, this is our negotiation, Republicans, there's no way you can't get on board with this because this is a middle-of-the-road approach for us to extend it one more time for us to figure out what to do thereafter. And I was, gotta be honest, I was really concerned that Republicans were going to be okay and they were going to capitulate and go for that and say, hey, we got to open up the government. We can't have any more pressure on the American people. And sure, one more year's not going to hurt. So when I heard the news on Sunday that they had finally agreed to something and started this process, my biggest question was who exactly caved on this situation? Because to be honest, Republicans have a really, really, really bad habit of caving and capitulating whenever it suits them or whenever they get scared, whenever the media puts too much pressure on them, they end up caving. And I was really concerned that that's exactly what happened, but it's not what it seems like. Now, we did, it sounds like, negotiate on a couple of things, which I don't know that I'm necessarily happy about. But in the grand scheme of things, I think Republicans end up winning overall. The agreement that they've come to does not include whatsoever any reforms on Obamacare, in the sense of Democrats wanting to extend Obamacare subsidies. It does not even guarantee a vote for the expansion of Obamacare subsidies. It doesn't talk about health care at all. So in the grand scheme of what Democrats were trying to do, dying on their hill, they lost. There's nothing in there that talks about health care reform at all. And I'd say that's a big win. I think that's relatively good. Now, the big part that we did compromise on a little bit, according to the story that I'm reading from Fox News, is the fact that we did counter some of the firings and furloughs that the Trump administration had taken on some federal employees. We are bringing some of them back, not all of them, but we are bringing some of them back to work after some of the firings that the Trump administration had done. I don't know that I necessarily like that. This was, in my opinion, still a missed opportunity Republicans had, and Donald Trump had especially, to really clean out the deep state, really downsized the size of the federal government. That didn't quite happen, but we essentially had a 40-day-long government shutdown for us to prove that we're not going to bring back Obamacare subsidies that we passed in the one big beautiful bill that was signed back on 4th of July by President Donald Trump. Democrats caved on that, and I guess that's a win. Now, none of this should have happened in the first place. All of it could have been preventable. We never should have had a shutdown in the first place because Democrats should have just passed a continuing resolution. So in the grand scheme of things, we're still net positive for the Republican side on what actually happened here. We got done what we needed to get done. We held our ground. We did not reform Obamacare back to where they wanted it to be. Did we not make as many gains on the downsizing as we could have? We didn't. And I don't think we really planned that out properly. But a big win here. And Democrats are starting to realize that. Now, here's the question. Who's going to be the fall guy? It sounds like early on, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like right now the fall guy is going to be Chuck Schumer. I almost anticipate Chuck Schumer being out relatively soon, which is really wild. This guy has been the Democrat leader for a long time. He has been the strong arm for the deep state for a long time. He has been the establishment Democrat person for a very long time. And he was doing this with the hopes of flexing his political muscle to make sure that AOC doesn't challenge him moving forward in 2026 or 2028 or whenever there's, I believe it's 28 when the Senate race is for him, or if she runs for vice president. He was trying to push back on that reform of the socialist movement within his party, kind of, but not really. So now it sounds like he's going to be the fall guy because according to Senator Tim Kaine, he was like, well, they're trying to play like victims here that they didn't realize how entrenched Republicans really were.
Do you wish that you would have started looking for this off-ramp sooner? Mm-hmm. You said that Republicans were never going to change in their position.
I didn't fully understand how dug in they were, again, because I was so focused on the Virginia elections. I wasn't in this discussion on the healthcare to see how dug in they were.
Okay, hold on for just a moment. I don't know. Again, this sounds really pathetic. I can smell the desperation coming from the Democrat Party right now. This is every Democrat. Remember, you got to remember, this is a situation Democrats have never, ever been, which is for them to actually backtrack, to capitulate, to give in, to cave in. This has never happened. This is brand new territory for them. I swear that we're living in a parallel universe because Republicans are the ones that always cave. Democrats are ones that always get what they want. They're the ones that sound like they're always the ones compromising, finding the middle of the road, finding the bipartisan way to go down, to grow their agenda, and they've never had to back down. This is the first time. They made the entire government shutdown about health care reform and universal health care. And after last week's elections, when the socialists took over, they said, wow, we have a renewed push. We're going to represent them. We're going to double down and keep this going until Republicans cave. Republicans did not cave, and they did not know what to do. There's been no on-ramp for them whatsoever. And now Tim Kaine's like, I didn't realize how dedicated they were to not doing health care reform. I was so focused on the elections last week. I had no clue. And you're going to hear this from a lot of Democrats. They're all playing the victim. Chuck Schumer made the bad decisions. Chuck Schumer made it about health care, and we didn't read the room properly, meaning the Democrats trying to explain this. We didn't read the room properly that there was no room for negotiation, and there was really no reason to keep this ongoing. And that's what they're starting to say now.
In this discussion on the health care, to see how dug in they were. But I, even as I was not part of these discussions, I was saying to Thune and others on the floor going back, listen, I need you. Some of you heard me say this in the hall. I need a moratorium on mischief. Others are working on the healthcare thing. I trust them. Others are working on the approach thing. I trust them. I need a moratorium on mischief, because if we vote to open and then the immediate step next week is Donald Trump fires a lot more people, it's going to blow up trust to get the full year deal. And so I've been preaching this moratorium on mischief for a month. But I think partly why did they finally give me the moratorium on mischief on RIFs? They needed my vote. But they also saw the election on Tuesday.
All right. So that, I guess, part of the negotiation to bring some of those fired individuals back. That's what Tim Kaine's been working on, wanting to bring those federal employees back. And that was part of that negotiation to win them over. But this does not look good for the Democrats, the party that's always lockstep, the party that always has the top-down marching orders, the party that always goes in unison. Republicans have, again, historically been the ones that always break apart and are the wicked, wild, free thinkers and that always kind of go and do their own thing. Democrats now walking away because each individual maybe got a few little wins here and there. The list, by the way, of the Democrats that got on board and voted for this to allow it to continue included Senators Angus King from Maine, John Fetterman, Catherine Cortez Masto, Gene Shaheen, Maggie Hassan, Jackie Rosen, Tim Kaine, and two Democrats in the and the number two Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin, from the state of Illinois. So a pretty wide list, some of them pretty radical left. But they recognized, well, we weren't really getting anywhere. The big issue that we wanted wasn't quite happening. And even if we kept it shut down for another month, really wouldn't have changed anything.
Now, I understand that not all of my Democratic colleagues are satisfied with this agreement. But waiting another week or another month wouldn't deliver a better outcome. It would only mean more harm for families in New Hampshire and all across the country.
They were losing. And their pitch on Friday was their last desperate Hail Mary. It was, we need to look like we're compromising. We need to look like we're negotiating. Bring us back to the middle. Make Republicans look like they're the radicals that are unwilling to work with us or do anything. That was their last desperate pitch, and it didn't work. And again, I applaud Republicans because I don't remember the last time this has ever happened. So well done. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you. Now, again, from the ideological standpoint, I really wish we would have taken more advantage of the situation by cutting more federal employees, by downsizing government more so than what we did, and holding firm on the firings that we had done of federal workers throughout these different agencies, including 4,000 workers that we had seen cut and fired from the Trump administration and three or four different agencies over the past month through the month of October. I really wish we could have permanentized and kept that, but we're still net positive, in my opinion, compared to where we were before, with a few of them still being fired, few of them coming back and keeping our stand firm on this health care reform issue or the lack thereof. Now we need to look at what we do with health care reforms moving forward, and we can have that conversation. And I want to get your thoughts on it. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, a big win for us? Or is it just, hey, for the first time, Democrats have caved. That's a big win for us already, and Democrats are now beginning to crumble. What is the future of the Democrat Party? That's pretty crazy. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. It's a Monday. We got lots to cover. We'll break it all down for you right after this.
Nearly 2 years ago, terrorists murdered over 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostages. Today, the cries of the dead and dying seem drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred. The most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust is already fading from memory. Yet as the world looks away, a light breaks through the darkness. Christians are speaking out in love and support for Israel. United in faith, they will boldly stand with Israel this October, joining a growing movement, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Flags of Fellowship. Flags of Fellowship unites churches all over America, planting over 1 million Israeli flags across our land. Together, we'll combat hate and the scourge of anti-Semitism one flag at a time. And through our prayers, we can save lives, bring hope, and be a part of seeing a brighter future unfold. This October, please join this historic movement by donating your flag today. Visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is a Monday. It's great to have you here as we kick things off for a whole new week. Setting that tone, my friends, and it's a crazy one to start the week off as well. The end of the government shutdown could be happening relatively soon. They're going through their hours of debate and allowing the Senate floor to discuss the bill before they do the official vote on it. But is it a win for Republicans or is it just a major loss for the Democrat Party? And there is a difference because Republicans could have done a lot more. In my opinion, they didn't take advantage of the opportunity that they had to really reform a lot of what needed to be done. But at the same time, they, well, at least stood their ground and didn't allow Democrats to reform health care, which leads to Chuck Schumer. Now, what's the future of Chuck Schumer look like? Because it's very strange how he's taken his position on this issue and has said now that he's just voting no on the bill. But didn't really say it in much of a leadership-like position of who's telling the Democrats what to do.
Step in and meet with us to deliver lower health care for Americans. And instead, Donald Trump has taken the American people hostage from cutting off food, aid to hungry families and vets and seniors and kids, to manufacturing flight cancellations, to cutting off home heating aid, while he builds a billion-dollar ballroom with gold-plated toilets. Therefore, I must vote no. This health care crisis is so severe, so urgent, so devastating for families back home that I cannot in good faith support this CR that it fails to address the health care crisis.
All right, so that's what he said probably last night or this morning. Dylan, you just sent me a message that said that Schumer's on the Senate floor right now. Let's go live to him if we can. Let's see what he has to say.
Suffer, then do anything to lower health care costs for the American people. The American people will not forget Donald Trump's cruelty and heartlessness over the last 6 weeks. And let me say something else. The American people have now awoken to Trump's health care crisis. Health care is once again at the forefront of people's minds. People now see that premiums are about to skyrocket. They're terrified about how they're going to pay for their insurance. Democrats demanded that we find a way to fix this crisis and quickly, but Republicans have refused to move an inch. So I cannot support the Republican bill that's on the floor because it fails to do anything of substance to fix America's health care crisis. The health care crisis is causing millions of families back home sleepless nights because they don't know how they're going to afford health care insurance so much needed by their families. Doing nothing is unacceptable, but that's the choice the Republican side made in obeisance to Donald Trump.
Wow. Republicans, all right, go ahead and plot that down. If he's still back on after the break, we may go back live to him. But, hey, Dylan, did you catch that? I'm smelling a little bit of desperation from Chuck Schumer right now. He's not going to support it, but the fact that he lost just enough of his caucus to allow this to go through, and he's still talking about health care reform. Again, this is a policy discussion that you have when the Senate is open and you talk about policy issues, not to hold the government ransom by keeping it shut down at this time. So he has just had a major loss. And again, I don't think we can express how impactful this is with Democrats breaking rank, supporting Republicans on a continuing resolution, and the top-down authority that Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Dick Durbin, all these other people have had for a very long time. It's crumbling and it's breaking away. This is the beginning of the demise, at least in my opinion, of the Democrat Party. Republicans could have done a lot more. Never let a crisis go to waste, right? Take advantage of the situation. But this is more of a loss for Democrats than it is a win for Republicans, because it never should have happened in the first place. And after 40 days of harming the American people, Democrats are walking away now with the tails between their legs with essentially no wins on this issue. We'll cover some more of this when we come back. Back after this on the Todd Starnes radio program.
You know that feeling when nausea hits and everything else just stops, like plans are ruined? You're sweaty, dizzy, you just want to curl up and disappear. Look, I've been there before, I can tell you, but let me say this. Our next sponsor has literally changed my life. It's called Relief Band. If you got nauseous, even just a little bit, it's a game changer. Relief Band is the original anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and actually prevents nausea and vomiting from motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, even chemo. And the best part, it's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, works in minutes before or after symptoms start, no side effects, no pills. It's seriously just a band you wear on your wrist, and you can adjust the intensity depending on how you're feeling. And it's not magic, it's science. Relief Band was developed for hospitals, FDA approved, clinically proven, and recommended by doctors, and that's why I trust it. I'm super mindful about what goes in my body, so I love that I can feel better without popping a pill. If you're still not convinced, well, Michael, a listener from Memphis, said the Relief Band is the first product that eliminated my motion sickness. I've tried the pills, the patch, the pressure bands. None of them worked like this. It's already helped over a million people feel better fast, and it can help you too. So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, go to ReliefBand.com, use promo code STARNS, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. That's ReliefBand.com, promo code STARNS.
Hey, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes today. And great to have you as we move those Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas. And happy Mondays. We're setting the tone for the week, man. The loss for the Democrats is what we'd like to say, is what Donald Trump would like to say, kind of bigly.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
And again, Republicans may have won this one, which we shouldn't have needed to do in the first place, but it was a 40-day punishment of the American people by Democrats that got nothing at the end of the day. The only thing they got was a little bit of the federal employees that Donald Trump hired throughout the last month, the near 4,000 employees and workers. They got a few of them back, but that's about it. No health care reforms, no Obamacare subsidies, no even promise that we're going to address this issue moving forward, although I think we should, and we'll talk about what some of those healthcare reforms could look like moving forward. But just a little while ago, Chuck Schumer speaking, and as he says he's not voting for it, spoke more like a regular senator than he did as an actual leader of the Democrat Party.
Step in and meet with us to deliver lower healthcare for Americans, and instead, Donald Trump has taken the American people hostage, from cutting off food, aid to hungry families and vets and seniors and kids, to manufacturing flight cancellations, to cutting off home heating aid, while he builds a billion-dollar ballroom with gold-plated toilets.
What is he talking about? Absolute nonsense. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Ron at KYKN in Oregon. Ron, how are you, my friend?
Hey, brother Andy, I'm going to say this. You should have, for one of his music, "Don't Call Me Brother" from the OJs, because Schumer, I'm going to rebuke him because of his situation. Go back to 2009 when they put the Affordable Health Care Act. I know people that retired, their health care plan with a family was $300, less than $1,000 deductible in the worst case. Mm. Now, fast forward, right here in Oregon, it's gone up to where $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 deductible. Who started that? Oh, it was the Democrats. That's right. And here at Chucky Schumer, talk all this stuff. I mean, Ducky Chucky needs to go get himself fixed up, because here's the facts. Another fact. My state's getting ready to have universal health care because of ignorance of the educating the voters. And do I want the Canadian plan? I'm a disabled veteran. I'm losing doctors. It finally took 3 years under Chucky Ducky and Biden to get a x-ray technician at the Salem Clinic, okay? Wow. Let me give you another fact is this. Republicans that was in the Senate, I respectfully love Johnson and others of that nature, especially Mr. John Kennedy out of Louisiana. I love that man. But the point is, the Republicans cannot be appeasing. They cannot go through and claim that they stand for liberty while they go through and compromise for the back room through these nonprofits and NGOs. That's what's happened to a lot of money. I mean, hey, we spent over $1.5 billion for homeless and drug addiction, but yet nobody's cured. They do not. Some of these nonprofits I visited last year in Salem do not take a drug test on those that's thin. But they rather give them a check. These nonprofits get fat.
And Ron, how many government programs have been created to solve an issue, and how many of those issues have actually been solved by a government program?
In Oregon, I'll speak directly, maybe one. There's only two places I will tell you. Teen Challenge another place out of Eugene, at Bridgehaven.
Yeah.
The drug and alcohol rehabilitation. The rest of them are gold-digging Jezebels. You cannot
serve
two masters and you claim you walk for liberty. Because just like what John Adams or Ben Franklin say, if you forsake your liberties for security, you deserve neither.
Boom. I love it. Ron, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a failed attempt for them. You cannot say that health care is getting better under Obamacare. You mentioned it. Deductibles, premiums, they doubled. They tripled under Obamacare, and everybody thought that it was all fine. Now they say they're going to double and triple again unless we keep these subsidies going. What's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result and saying that now we need more government to try and fund these programs in order to keep deductibles low when they're not low? And this is the reform. If we want to have a healthcare conversation and reform healthcare, let's do it. And it's time for us to end Obamacare.
That's right. And the ultimate goal is, Andy, is this. Let's go back to the Fabian socialists they don't teach our kids anymore about, or the Age of Enlightenment of the 1880s with Crowley and Rockefeller and even Bill Gates Sr., the eugenics, along with Margaret Sanger. What they all got in common? They don't want you to own nothing. They want to tax you out of your home so high that you can be like France with 7% home ownership, and 80% of home ownership is foreigners. They do not want you to have a currency, so they want to treat you like an iRobot or Dune or Divergent. Well, you've got to come to the government or George Orwell's 1984. I'm not trying to be conspiracy theorists, but it's scary when I'm starting to see things, whether it's from Battlestar Galactica with the Cylons and the formation when you watch this, the new version with Edward James Olmos from Miami Vice. And you look, and fast forward today, sir. Hinton and everybody else has been right. You know, all of those people at Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand.
That's right. We've called it.
Prophecies?
We've called it all across the board. You're right. Runtz, fantastic, my friend. And thank you for your service, by the way. I hope you can get the stuff that you need through the VA and get the programs that you actually need. Maybe with this government opening up again, then we can actually get you back on track and help the people that we need. Donald Trump sent out that tweet over the weekend, which I think is what scared Democrats, because we said essentially all of the goodies, all of the subsidies, all of the special pet projects that you have under Obamacare, they're going to go away. If you didn't see the Truth Social post that was over the weekend or on Friday, whenever he sent it out, that said that hundreds of billions of dollars being sent right now to money-sucking insurance companies in order to save the bad health care provided by Obamacare. And he says that they should be sent directly to the people so they can purchase their own much better health care and have money left over. In other words, take it from big, bad insurance companies and give it to the people and terminate per dollar spent and the worst health care anywhere in the world, which is Obamacare. When Donald Trump sent out that tweet, and Democrats that have been advocating for more universal health care, and they say we need more subsidies to the federal program. And Ron, just like you said, and we thank you so much for your service and thank you for the call because that was fantastic, that you're right, that it has been a complete disaster, and they cannot claim otherwise that it's not been a disaster. Fine, we're going to get rid of the whole thing. We're going to increase the insurance companies. We're going to go into the private sector, and we're going to do this. So well done. And yeah, watch it collapse. That scared them. That scared them. We have Dick Durbin now speaking on the Senate floor. Let's go live to that, see what he has to say.
With proposals to change the law and protect American families from dramatic health care premium increases. It is my fervent hope that this ends up being a bipartisan effort. It would be such an achievement of the Senate to finally return to that status. I've served in the Senate for 29 years, and I've never seen that kind of offer from a Senate majority. During the historic roll call last night, I walked across the aisle and met with Senator John Thune, the Republican leader. I told him that I was counting on him to keep his word on this agreement. He assured me he would. The fate of this effort depends on both the Senate and the House of Representatives. After a 7-week absence, the Speaker Johnson needs to call his members back and join us in the hard work that lies ahead. Many of my friends are unhappy. They think we should have kept our government closed indefinitely to protest the policies of the Trump administration. I share their opinions of this administration, but cannot accept a strategy which wages political battle at the expense of my neighbor's paycheck or the food for his children. Mr. President, I yield the floor.
Wow. All right, Dick Durbin. So he is one of them that ended up switching over, by the way, one of the 8 Democrats that ended up going along with this. This is, again, are we living in a different universe? Did we do some kind of timeline shift here? Because I've never in my, I'm 37, I'm a millennial, so I haven't been around the political realm quite as long. But in my time of paying attention to politics and covering the issues, I have never seen Democrats cave and give defeating speeches like this. I've never seen them so defeated. I've never seen them so deflated right now. And right now, they look like a Tom Brady NFL football, completely deflated and have nowhere to go. These guys are insane. And watching Dick Durbin up there and say, hey, yeah, we want to fight the Trump administration. Yeah, we want health care reform. Yeah, we want the universal health care. But we can't do it by keeping the government shut down, and it's not going to change at all. And joining Republicans and actually holding this up. Now, we came in a little late. I don't know what he said prior to that regarding some of the negotiations and compromises that John Thune had said, but it's not health care, which was their biggest issue. So did we compromise? Should we have compromised? I don't know. That's a point of conversation that we can have on whether Republicans ended up giving in a little bit. But at the end of the day, the big win is the fact that Democrats lost on this. And it's not necessarily a partisan issue. It's for you, the American people. It's for us that want private health care options, that want reform in Obamacare and not federal subsidies for universal health care. This is a big win, and they sound defeated. This is wild. Never thought we'd live in a situation like that. Speaker Johnson, by the way, is calling in the House members to say to be prepared and to be ready for what could happen. He did speak on the health care issue earlier this morning with his press conference and said this.
As we said from the beginning, the people's government cannot be held hostage to further anyone's political agenda. That was never right. And shutting down the government never produces anything. It never has, if you study history. And so here we are. I want to remind everybody this morning of another critical point that you've heard me here repeat over and over the last several weeks. It's something that I and Leader John Thune and President Trump and every Republican leader have all said repeatedly from the beginning. We have always been open to finding solutions to reduce the oppressive cost of health care under the Unaffordable Care Act. We just made clear that we would not and should not ever do that, that is, negotiate as hostages.
Boom. So, and we did it. We did not negotiate with the terrorists, so to speak. And I don't mean to call Democrats terrorists, but when you hold the government hostage in that sense, for a political purpose, that essentially is what you were in this situation. Now, I really hope that we see the Republicans that were starting to cave a little bit. And I call out Marjorie Taylor Greene, who overall I've been a relatively big fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene in the House side, but was on The View just last week on election day and telling everybody at The View, the cackling hens, the cackling hens over there about how bad that Mike Johnson was with the speakership and how these subsidies are going to go away and how the premiums are going to go up and how health care is going to be really bad, or Republicans don't have a plan. Republicans have had a plan. And I still think we should move forward with the plan that Donald Trump had tweeted out that scared the Democrats to death, because they do not want to see their precious government health care go away. They want to see more of that socialized health care. And if we are going to have the conversation, let's do it. Let's bring it back. In fact, Donald Trump has talked about multiple times now of putting money back in the American people's pocket to make their own decision. One of them, because of the tariff revenue that we've seen, we heard the news that he wants to give maybe each individual $2,000. So in a family, I guess that would be $4,000. I don't know. That's kind of crazy. But then at the same time, if we're not going to spend the money on Obamacare, give it back to us and let us make our own decisions to get our own private insurance. to be able to tailor products for us. He said during the first administration that what we need to do is just flood the market, have 10 different insurance companies, 20 different insurance companies, bring back competition in a capitalist system, because what happens under capitalism? You have the supply and demand. You have the quality that you can have lower prices, you can have a higher quality, and that you can pick and choose what you want a la carte style to make sure that your healthcare plan actually meets the needs that you need and not covering other stuff that you don't need. That's the way the system works. And if you were worried about how the system was broken before, it was because government got in bed with it and prices started to get off skew based on what the private sector can actually afford. And they started covering things that we didn't need to cover. And we had insurance plans covering other individuals that weren't paying into the system the way that it actually needed to happen. And then it got off skew. And then Democrats and Barack Obama came in with their magical plan to say, hey, let's just push it a little bit further towards the socialist movement, and we're going to expand Obamacare. And we're going to create this 90% coverage of the Medicaid programs at a statewide level, a state program being funded by the federal government at a ratio of 90%. That's kind of weird. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me on why it's still covered and considered a statewide healthcare program like Medicaid. And all we did during the One Big Beautiful Bill was say we're going to cut $1.5 trillion in this program to where it goes back to somewhat of the state's responsibility to cover this. We have to put in work requirements to where all you have to do is work, go to school, or volunteer 20 hours a week. It's really not that difficult. And you can still qualify for these programs. But we're not covering undocumented. We're not covering work people that are here as non-citizens. We're not covering illegal aliens. And then as long as you do your part and do your 20 hours, then you qualify and everything's going to be great. Lost their minds. No one is losing health care. And if you want to make health care better, let's do it. Let's focus on it. Let's get rid of Obamacare and do what Donald Trump said and that tweet that scared Democrats into caving in because they'd rather keep what they can right now as opposed to actually losing ground on the issue of Obamacare. 901-260-5926. What a big win, man. This is crazy. I got to be honest. I never thought that we would see this situation. I am so glad that Republicans did not cave. We did give in on a few other issues. They're minor issues. I think we can get them back. But this is a big loss. And now the Democrats and Chuck Schumer are gone. Chuck Schumer will be out of there soon. And I think he's lost every bit of leadership and leverage that he had. We'll see what the future of the Democrat Party looks like moving forward. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. We got lots more to get back to right after this.
MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back in stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
Hey, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program, moving through the day here, a victory day. You can do a victory lap, at least for some Republicans, and the end potentially of a government shutdown. We'll see as we go through this procedural vote that's happening right now. First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. As you know, the First Amendment is always under attack, but you can do what you can to help protect your constitutional rights, and you can do it by just using your cell phone. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why we're proud to partner with them here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. That means you get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to, and you get to do it without funding the left side of the aisle. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and so many more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or you can even upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. When you do, you get free activation when you use that promo code Todd. Make the switch today. Join us. It's patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. All right, I want to hear from you as well at 901-260-5926 here in the Liberty University studios. The ongoing shutdown as we continue to see more individuals get up on the Senate floor. I want to hear what they had to say with 8 Democrats right now caving and capitulating, realizing there is no pathway for their universal health care that they were hoping for the first time, dumbfounded, shock and awed that Republicans have stood firm and stood on this and say, no, we're not caving and we're not backing down. And with the fear of losing everything that they've wanted in their health care reforms over the years with Obamacare and centralized health care industries, that was on the brink of going away completely. And I still hope that it does. We need to address. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene's right. And the Democrats are right in the essence that health care is way too expensive. And we need to change it. Why would we continue to reinvest in the same issue when it hasn't worked before? I always try to understand why Democrats always say purism in socialism. If we just go further down the road, then it will work. If we just give more power to the government, then it would work. If we just invest more money in it, then it would all of a sudden work. Right now, it's only kind of quasi-socialist. It's not where it needs to be. We're spending a lot of money, but it just screwed up the healthcare industry. They've openly now admitted that Obamacare is a failure, and the only way it would succeed is if we dump all of our money in it when we're sitting at $37 trillion in a national debt. That is not sustainable. We can't continue to do that, and it's really silly for them to ask for it. And I think maybe they're starting to realize that. So bring it on. Let's have the conversation. Let's talk about healthcare reform. But it ain't going to be the way that you look at it and that you want it to be at the end of the day, which is going to be awesome for Republicans moving down the road. I have renewed optimism of Republicans not caving and capitulating. Back after this here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. 1 in 4 Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
What is up, America? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it is not Todd Starnes. He is traveling today, probably stuck in some of the shenanigans. That is the airlines, that is travel in general across the nation with the ongoing government shutdown. Although government shutdown could be ending relatively soon. We've been covering that. We'll continue to as the Senate floor is open right now for the procedural vote before they end up voting for the amended continuing resolution that will be. By the way, the details of that CR will break down throughout the program that would extend government funding with a CR until the end of January, giving them the opportunity to finish the appropriations process, but also funding the SNAP benefits and a couple other issues to the end of the fiscal year in September of 2026. That's a little interesting, but just in case they don't get the appropriations process done, they want to make sure that this does not happen again to punish the American people that Democrats have been doing now for 40 days and got absolutely nothing out of it. That was a major loss. Major loss. Nonetheless, so welcome to it, the Todd Starnes radio program. My name is Andy Hoosier. I am sitting in for Todd Starnes today, moving the Liberty University studios from Memphis, Tennessee, all the way out here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station, KQAM Radio, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. We have a lot to cover. We have a great guest on the line that we will get to here momentarily and looking forward to chatting with him. But did you? Before we go any further, did you see this weekend Something that I don't think people knew that they actually needed. And that was President Donald Trump doing play-by-play of an NFL game. That was pretty exciting.
And if you'd like me to, but I will say that your second string, your backup quarterback, is a good quarterback, and he's had some very good games for you. And your first string quarterback has the potential, I think, to be a great quarterback. He's got to stop the injuries somehow. And let's see, we have a very important, I think this is a very important couple of plays.
Here we go. Second and seven.
Yeah, second and seven. Let's see what happens. Whoa.
That's all right. Krosky Merritt.
Not bad.
Takes it down to the 5-yard line.
That's right. That's right. Good runner.
There we go.
A very good runner.
This is a very big play, don't you think?
I think.
They have to get a touchdown. Let's put it differently. They just have to get a touchdown.
There we go. Now you're doing my job, because that's what I was going to say. They have to get a touchdown.
Just forget about the play. They have to get a touchdown.
So you've done my job, now you've done his job.
I did not know that what we were missing in our life was President Donald Trump doing play-by-play for a football game. You know what? Forget the play. He's just got to get a touchdown. Very good runner. He runs very fast, very hard. Just got to get the touchdown. Well, well done. I did not know that we needed that. So thank you, President Donald Trump, for that. By the way, he was there at the Washington Commanders game against the Detroit Lions, apparently, and he was swearing in new recruits to the military during halftime, which the boos were insane. I never thought that while we were swearing in new soldiers that the President of the United States had the opportunity to do during the halftime of a football game, which is really kind of neat, that we would hear boos.
Please raise your right hand.
Now it is, okay, it is Washington, I get it, but come on, man. Kind of crazy. All right, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. I want to get right to our guest here for this portion. We go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines, and we talk about the anger. I mean, if they're booing the President of the United States and new service members in Washington, what the heck could we see moving forward? I mean, we just see an election last week, them electing a guy that wanted to kill Republicans, put bullets in their heads, and do this all this crazy stuff. We had the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and it just never ends. The party of intolerance, hatred, and violence is what it's all about. To talk about some of that and more, happy to have on. He's the vice mayor of Melbourne, Florida, representing district number 3 in that city council that just actually had some issues about death threats coming to him. Mr. David Newman on the line. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the program. What a wild time that we live in. David, just you guys honoring Charlie Kirk, wanting to, you know, honor him within the community, wanting to name a street after him. We have the president representing military soldiers and swearing them in. And the violence, the booing, the hatred, the threats. This is a crazy world that we live in today.
Oh, it's absolutely horrifying that, you know, unfortunately, at all levels of government, whether it's on the federal government or even down to your local city councils, unfortunately, the radical left is trying to bully, intimidate, and threaten everybody who are just trying to stand up for good conservative values. And in this particular case, just honoring a good patriot who cared about this country.
It's really unfortunate. Talk about what you guys are going through right now, what the process, what the conversation looked like in that honoring that you guys were doing for Charlie Kirk.
Sure. So at the city of Melbourne, we had wanted to honor Charlie Kirk. You know, Melbourne's a conservative city. I'm in a conservative state and a conservative county, which is a common sense to help support a conservative icon like Charlie Kirk. So we had a motion that was put onto our agenda so that we could name a street after him. And we had probably about four left-wing individuals who came and shouted all these obscenities at us in the middle of that meeting, and it really affected the vote. The vote actually failed due to some of that. But then afterwards, unfortunately, when I went down to talk to the folks, the Young Republicans and the Turning Point USA folks, who it was their first city council meeting and tried to see what's going on, they witnessed me being threatened by the top Democrat in our area. It was very, very bizarre and very concerning for the state of our country.
Yeah, it's so wild. I mean, what was the argument against it that we don't need to be? I'm assuming this is the kind of the argument that we hear from all over the place, is that Charlie Kirk was a Nazi or a fascist or a sexist and a racist and all this other garbage. So therefore, we shouldn't be representing him. I'm assuming that's what they were screaming during this meeting.
Yes, they were. They felt that there was no reason to honor him. They picked clips out that were very much out of context of what Charlie was saying and what he was advocating for. It was absolutely a very organized smear campaign against him about just, you know, trying to tarnish somebody who was a God-fearing, country-loving man to probably, you know, they thought that they want us to think he was the worst of the worst.
What was the response from the other council members hearing the during the debate, during the actual session, and hearing these individuals cause the stir and argument against? I mean, you said that, you know, you had the momentum that you potentially could have gotten this passed, and then it failed at the end of the day. What was the conversation with these other council members?
Sure. Well, the council members, unfortunately, during the debate portion of it, they were very much bullied and intimidated, where they started to back down and say, you know, maybe we should just name it Freedom Street or First Amendment Street. Or one person, when we were counting down, we just needed four to move forward to a workshop, and we had three. We just needed one more. One, she was being screamed at by the crowd, totally out of decorum. It shouldn't have, you know, been allowed, but she was being screamed at, called a racist and all these vile things and, you know, all these horrible names. And she eventually just gave and said she'd, you know, not gonna move forward with even going to a workshop to talk about it some more. So they were just, they were bullied, they were intimidated, they were given, you know, wrong facts. There was very unfortunate things that were going on there, and they were just unfortunately caved under pressure.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate for sure. I mean, if they're easily cowering that way and just easily swayed just because of a few threats and people throwing a fit, that would make me worried that when really important issues come up for policy in the city, that they really don't have much of a spine to stand on some of these issues. So is the issue dead? Are you guys going to try it again? What's the future of this look like?
No, it's dead. And honestly, I mean, they're still being, you know, again, there's still lingering things around it. You know, when that top Democrat came and threatened me, we ended up having to get a police report, sending that to the state attorney's office. And now the council itself isn't even sure what to wanting to touch something like this, just because of, you know, the threats and this now perception that, you know, violence is occurring on it. So unfortunately, there probably isn't a future at this time. Now, I know there's a lot of great young patriots from Turning Point USA and the Young Republicans who, there's a few seats that are going to open up in the next couple, I guess in the months and next year. So they're hoping to maybe get some folks to bring it back up again. But yeah, at the moment, just due to that violent rhetoric and due to the litigation type of stuff, there's not a future.
What a crazy world we live in. We're talking with David Newman. He's the vice mayor for Melbourne, Florida, representing District Number 3 on their city council. You can find him on the Tweety or the X at Real David Newman as the threats, the violence coming from the other side of the aisle, which is unfortunate. So now the police came in, the police report, it's under investigation. Has there been any indication of what this looks like for this individual, this head Democrat for the area and the community? I mean, is he going to pay a fine? Is he going to court? I mean, what's this look like now?
No, and that's the real tragedy of it. Unfortunately, we need good state attorneys. We need good elected officials. I mean, if I could, you know, just talking to the audience right now, we really need great people in these local positions, because unfortunately, due to what I believe is politics, this top Democrat ended up, you know, when we did the police report and went to the investigation side of it, there were three witnesses that came forward to the police. They gave their testimony that they saw what had occurred. There's nothing on camera because it was off to the side and during a recess. But three witnesses came forward. When they called the suspect to come in and interview, she chose not to interview with the police. She said she will not do it. But she did have time to call elected officials in the city, law enforcement officials, and basically pull every political lever that she possibly could to tell her side of the story there. And unfortunately, when it went to the state attorney's office, it went straight to the top, according to the deputy state attorney, and the top official said, "We're not going to move forward with it." So, unfortunately, wow. when you have, and he's a Republican, but when you have, you know, weak Republican state attorneys, it makes us less safe, because this opens us up to more people getting hurt. Because if the left doesn't have consequences, it's a violation of law. The police said it violates a certain statute. But the fact they won't prosecute on it, you know, that means that someone could just keep doing it, keep threatening, and I hope nobody gets hurt because of weak leadership.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, and it's a bad example for the young generation. If there's college Republicans there, if there's Turning Point USA students that are there watching this process all play out, watching this all happen, I know they probably already have their guard up because of what happened to Charlie Kirk in the first place. But for young kids that are wanting to be involved in politics, getting involved in the system in the first place, helping out candidates, trying to spread their message, this is creating an entire different environment where they're seeing it firsthand them speaking out, them making their voices heard for the first time, could literally put their lives in danger because of these threats that we just accept now as part of the norm in society. And to me, David, that's really concerning to me.
Oh, absolutely. And me too. And I happen to, you know, I'm the youngest elected city councilman on the dais. I'm the youngest selected vice mayor. And so I talk to these folks all the time, these young people. And the good news and the encouraging news is that this next generation is ready to fight. They want to make sure that they're there doing all the right things. They want to make sure that they're getting involved in our government. And so this hasn't dissuaded them. If anything, it's fired them up because they realize if they don't stand up for themselves, nobody will.
I'm glad it's firing them up and not scaring them, intimidating them, threatening them in some manner, and them backing down, which leads me to my last question. Are you seeing an increase after, obviously, the assassination of Charlie Kirk? There's been a major increase in applications for new Turning Point USA chapters for growth and membership across the nation. Are you seeing that happen in your community down there as well? You said it's relatively red. Are we seeing more members? Are we seeing new chapters? Are we seeing that growth in your area, even with this ongoing ridiculousness from the Democrats?
Oh, absolutely. And it just keeps it's really, really heartening. It's really exciting to see. We have two college campuses in my town, and both of them are getting Turning Point chapters. There are folks just in the droves. These college students are flocking to those. And then for those who aren't in the Turning Point network, the Young Republicans organization is reaching new heights with all these young people who have been joining that organization as well. So the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's death has activated a lot of young people to say, I need to do something. I need to get out there, and I want to learn what's going on and how I can make a difference. So it's really exciting to hear.
Very encouraging. The young generation, we need them, and the fact that they're more fired up than ever before shows exactly where the state of politics are. The Democrats are losing, they're crumbling, and when you get in that desperation state, that's why you begin to lash out. But we cannot make that a normal issue in society. David Newman, Vice Mayor for Melbourne, Florida. You can find him on the Tweety at @RealDavidNewman. David, keep up this fight, my friend. I'm sorry this happened to you. Hopefully, we can pray that nothing actually does physically happen, and let's actually start investigating people that make these types of threats. But keep up this fight, sir. Let's get you back on and get another update soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you betcha. David Newman, Vice Mayor for Melbourne, Florida. You can find him on X at @RealDavidNewman. Let's get your thoughts on this when we come back. 901-260-5926. Lots to cover. A little time to do it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Hey, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd. If you want more information on Todd, you can go to his website, toddstarnes.com, his radio program, his Newsmax TV program, of course, his books, and so much more. If you want information on myself, you can go to the website at HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. I am shock and awed, my friends, with the Democrats caving on the government shutdown. They have the 30 hours of the discussion on the Senate floor, which we have more people jumping on the Senate floor. So, Dylan, let's go live to that again and see what they're saying.
That will help them to pay for it. 22 million American families. So let me just tell you, I heard from Laurie in North Truro, the insurance for her and her husband is increasing from $6,000 a year to $26,400 a year. Who can afford to pay more on health insurance? Who can afford to pay $20,000 more on their health insurance and just get the notice now that it's over on December 31st and have the Republicans just walking away from that problem for Laurie and for 22 million other Americans? Now they're going to have to decide, do I take the funding from retirement savings? Do they just do without other things in their family's lives? Because $20,000 is a lot for a family who are not millionaires. Millionaires don't qualify for this tax credit. It's just regular families. It's middle class families. That's who qualifies.
Yeah, okay. That's not true. Go ahead and pat that down. This guy's, it's just the rhetorical talking points for him to get his sound clip in for his campaign in the next couple of years for him to say, look, I stood up for your rights for health care. You're right. $20,000 is a lot of money for health care. That's absolutely insane. We need to do something about it. If it's not on the back of the individual, then it would be on the back of the subsidized taxpayer, you and I, funding that plan, which is absurd and ridiculous in the first place. The only way to fix that is to bring it back into the private sector and get rid of Obamacare in the first place. This is the first step to that. If we're not subsidizing certain Obamacare plans, certain Obamacare subsidies through the federal government, that means the system that it was supposed to be is going to begin crumbling, which means we're going to see the beginning of the end of Obamacare. And I see that as some pretty good news for sure. 901-260-5926. I'm honestly shocked, as we just chatted with David Newman down in Melbourne, Florida, about the death threats for something as simple as honoring Charlie Kirk. And if that's what triggers Democrats to want to try and harm individuals, imagine the outlash and the response we're going to see when Democrats didn't cave or to that side of their aisle and fight against Republicans and Donald Trump about health care reform for universal health care. That's why they were doing what they're doing. That's why they wasted 40 days on a shutdown where they got nothing out of it at the end of the day, because they were listening and pandering to that group. And it didn't work out for them. So what's the future of the Democrat Party? I don't know. We're hearing now that there is a call for Chuck Schumer to not only step down, but to immediately step down from his seat as the Senate Minority Leader. Not just his leadership, but in the Senate seat altogether. And to have AOC challenge him in a primary in a special election. That's kind of wild. Will that happen? We'll talk about some more of that when we come back around the corner. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more to get to for your Monday. Stay right here.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes. I like the music, Dylan. Is this like a funky Monday or something? That's on that one. Yeah, funky Mondays. I like it here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, want to tell you about our friends over at AMAC. If you love this country and you're concerned about the direction we're headed, you can do something about it right now. And what that thing is by joining AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that built this nation, which is faith, family, freedom, and common sense. AMAC members, when you sign up, you get some really great benefits, including deep discounts on travel, insurance, prescription drugs, along with the exclusive member resources that you get, and a subscription to the AMAC magazine, one of the best publications for patriot Americans across the nation. The best part? You can do it for as little as $1.20 a month when you sign up for a five-year membership. It's pretty awesome. Go to amac.us/starnes and join the fight to keep America strong. That's amac.us/starnes for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. So we've been covering the government shutdown. Is this guy still speaking, Dylan? This individualist Democrat that's really angry. Pot him up for just a moment, because he's still on a tirade. I don't know how much more you could say about how mad you are about non-government subsidies going to a health care, but let's see what he has to say here.
You don't have enough money. And who are you going to take? Who are you going to take it out on? Who are you going to say all of a sudden with your green eye shades that you're really concerned about the federal budget deficit? You're going to take it out upon those who are least healthy, those most in need of help in our society? No, we're better than that. So this is a historic mistake. But just remember, the Republicans have always harbored an ancient animosity towards Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. They voted against all of those programs. And now okay. with
all right, I can't deal with anymore. That's ridiculous. The fear mongering is crazy, man. It's, hey, this is a historic loss. Yeah, this is a historic loss for you. Democrats have never, in my experience of watching politics, have never capitulated like they had this time, and they are losing their minds.
We're all gonna die because of you.
Well, that's what we're hearing right now. Let's go to our guest on the program. Let's go back to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. He is a political pundit at the TriStar Daily, TriStarDaily.com. Happy to have on here as we cover the Todd Starnes radio program, Mr. Steve Gill. Steve, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. And yeah, the chicken little sky is falling fear mongering that we're hearing from these folks. I saw a report today that something like 40% of those who are on Obamacare have never made the first health care claim. So the problem is they force people onto expensive Obamacare rather than lower cost, higher deductible. Because, you know, most 25, 30-year-old men don't use a lot of medical care, and that's being proven out by the statistics. And yet we're overcharging people so we can provide these subsidies that people aren't even drawing upon that are actually honest, decent, law-abiding American citizens.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely insane. Steve, what was the turning point for this? We went into the weekend on Friday with Democrats coming out with their quote-unquote compromise bill, extend these subsidies for one more year, create this task force, move forward with it. What was the turning point when Republicans said, no, we're not doing that, but why did they cave now compared to right after the election last week? Or instead of trying to propose this one last Hail Mary, what made them finally realize this wasn't going anywhere?
You know, I don't want to be overly biblical, but after 40 days and 40 nights, Satan blinked in the form of Chuck Schumer. You know, what changed? I think they were starting to feel the pain. They were starting to hear from their constituents. And it's interesting, if you look at the eight Democrats who crossed over, three of them aren't running for re-election, so they don't have to worry about the AOCs and the radical nitwit Mamdani left. The other five are either facing re-election, but facing it not this cycle and down the road, so they could break with the far-left extremists and not have to pay a price in their primaries for another couple of years. All of the other ones are either facing primary elections, have fear of primary elections, and I think that's why these were the only eight who were willing to cross the aisle and finally do the right thing.
Yeah. Do you think it scared them when President Trump sent out his Truth Social over the weekend that said, hey, we're not going to give money to the big corrupt insurance companies, but instead, let's just give the money back to the people for them to make their own decision, which is essentially just a complete abolition of Obamacare in the first place. He wanted to try and do it in the first administration. It didn't happen. We had the opportunity, I think, to really make that happen now, which may still, if we continue to look at healthcare reform overall, and we're not putting certain subsidies back into Obamacare. But do you think that scared them when they saw that tweet and said, hey, we'd rather preserve what we have now than lose all of it?
Yeah, they are completely dependent on duping their voters and duping the folks that only pay sort of slight attention to the realities, and their lives can work. I heard a guy not long ago tell me, look, Steve, the key thing to remember is our truth can win against their lives if we can get our truth out. And maybe they were afraid of that truth getting out. I would say that you have to follow the money. Every issue in Washington, follow the money, whether it's the health insurance companies that have profited so much, not just from the Obamacare Act, but also from COVID. I mean, when you follow the money, you see the destruction of our healthcare system always tracks back to those who are profiting from it. And I would say the same thing is looming with this tariff dispute in the Supreme Court. The founding fathers had no idea that we would get to a point where our Congress would be so much in the pocket of our foreign adversaries that they could impose tariffs on us and Congress would not respond. And when the president responds, they challenge that. They question that. Our founders didn't think that our Congress would sell us out. Boy, they underestimated Congress, didn't they?
Yeah, we are definitely a long ways away from the original intent of where we were supposed to be with the Constitution and limitation of powers, for sure. We're talking with Steve Gill. He's a political pundit for the TriStar Daily, TriStarDaily.com. Let's speculate for just a moment and look at the future of the Democrat Party. As I said, Steve, I'm a millennial. I'm 37. I haven't been around the block too terribly long. However, I will say in all the years I have been following politics, it has been the ongoing capitulation of Republicans. They don't have a backbone. They don't have a spine. As soon as the pressure gets put on by Democrats or by the media, then we end up cowering. We find a way to, quote unquote, negotiate. And when I heard the announcement on Sunday yesterday that there was a deal being made, my first reaction was, oh, no, what did Republicans do to cower on this issue, especially with the bill that was proposed on Friday? I have never seen Democrats eat crow, and after 40 days of putting pressure on the American people and losing subsidies, losing SNAP benefits, all this garbage that they put us through, walk away without actually getting anything here. What's going on?
You're exactly right. And again, when I heard the announcement, I was the same way as you. It's like, okay, let me look at the details. What did we give up to get it? And we gave up nothing other than, okay, yeah, we'll let you have a vote maybe down the road.
And to hire back a few of the federal employees. I guess that was the only negotiation, was to bring back some of the federal employees that Trump had fired over the last month.
The key being some, which means yes. We're still starting to cut into the bureaucracy that has grown too rapid, too large, too uncontrollable. Keep in mind, the only one we can't count on, and I'm talking to you, Kentucky, Rand Paul, the only Republican who voted to keep the government shut down, vote after vote after vote. I think he is maybe the sole Republican that suffers from Trump derangement syndrome. His hatred and distrust of Trump is motivating his votes rather than what's best for Kentucky and America. And hopefully Kentucky will take the opportunity to do the right thing the next time they have that chance to make a change there.
Yeah, it's very true. The future of Chuck Schumer, there is rumors right now lingering that some Democrats are calling for the complete removal of Chuck Schumer, not only as the Senate Minority Leader, but to have an immediate primary and have AOC fill that slot and try to replace him, which there was speculation on why this is what he was trying to do in the first place, was to flex his political muscle to show that he still had some authority. That obviously backfired. His speech earlier today on the Senate floor was not necessarily one of, I'm leading the Democrat Party to a cause, but I'm voting no because of the issue, sounding like just an average senator that's there trying to oppose the bill, said nothing about any type of leadership. Is Chuck Schumer done right now?
I think absolutely, and I think that's what's motivated this whole thing, his fear of being targeted from the extreme left. And he's not the only one. That's what was keeping all of his Democrat senators in line until these eight broke from the pack. I think he does not run for re-election, and I think you're looking at the next senator from New York being AOC.
Really? That blows my mind. I really hope not, but is that the future of the Democrat Party? Is that where we're going now?
Gifts that keep on giving. I think for them, they're eating their own. I mean, they are cannibalizing their party. There were some a while back that were speculating maybe what this country needs is a third party. There's about to be a third party, half the Democrats and the other half of the Democrats, which is good news for Republicans. We've avoided eating our own for the most part in the past. We still have some squabbles in-house, but the Democrats are beyond squabble. They're on full-bore annihilation of each other, and it is the far left, the Mamdanis, the AOCs, the Jasmine Crocketts. I mean, you, Ilhan Omar, I married my brother, Somali. This is the Democratic Party. They can deny it. There are no moderate Democrats left, and to the extent that there are, they're going to get beat in primaries. So their party is devolving into nothing. And how can you go lower than a 16-point approval rating? They're about to show us.
Yeah, if you put AOC in that slot, if you make AOC and Mamdani the future of the Democrat Party, you're going to see that approval rating go lower than 16% for sure. And AOC, I'm telling you, man, she's the fun one.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
I mean, that is where we're at. We're talking with Steve Gill, political pundit with the TriStar Daily, TriStarDaily.com. So let's talk about health care reform, because Marjorie Taylor Greene was out last week talking on The View, talking on the Bill Maher Show about how prices are going to go up for health care and how Republicans don't have a plan. Mike Johnson was to blame for the government shutdown. There was a few of those cracks within the Republican Party about what health care could look like. And they're right. We need to reform health care because we're not fully funding Obamacare now, because we're not putting these subsidies back in. Does that open up the door of opportunity for us to repeal Obamacare completely and get back to a private sector option?
Obamacare was broken from the beginning, and that's why Republicans voted against it unanimously. Then they added on top the COVID subsidies to help people through the COVID chaos, which, again, look at the biggest winners during that time, Merck, Moderna, Pfizer, the folks that were selling the questionable vaccine and making billions in profits, hospitals that were classifying people as COVID victims or, or suffering from COVID to be able to make more money than just somebody who died or suffered from the flu. It is completely out of whack because of those who've been, you know, profiteering off of the health and sickness of Americans. We can fix it, but we need to have a plan that focuses back on what makes sense. And what the Obamacare plan got away from was, as I mentioned earlier, having a high deductible, low monthly cost, because most people aren't using a lot of health care, particularly when they're younger, and yet they were forcing people into a bad health insurance policy that was costing too much. And then if you didn't buy their scheme, they were going to punish you and put financial fines on you. It was a crackpot scheme from the beginning. We can do better. The problem is when you start taking something away from people, they're going to squeak and scream and squawk. And I think Republicans are going to have to make a big sales job of what they're doing and how it will work if they're going to have any chance of getting it passed, even the Republicans.
Yeah, it's very difficult. People don't like change, and this is going to be a big change if we're able to make it happen. It will be a better change that we can get accustomed to, and we'll settle back into our normal routine, but it's going to take some time to get there. Last couple things for you, Steve, and I appreciate your time. I want to shift gears. You mentioned Mom Donnie, the city of New York. There was an announcement made just a little while ago this morning of him announcing his couple team members to his transition, his chief of staff and a few others, and the big plans that he has, which I don't know if you heard the video of him the day after the election last week where he was like, by the way, I know you stopped donating to my campaign. Begin donating again so we can hire more of a bureaucratic state for our transition team with bigger bureaucrats to regulate you, which I find absolutely hilarious for a socialist. It makes total sense. But are we in how bad of a situation is New York going to be in? I'm hopeful between the city council there and between even a lot of the plans that he has that needs to be approved by the state legislature and the governor there, that we have a little bit of some red tape to rein him in some. But how bad is New York going to be looking soon when he takes full reign here?
Oh, it's going to make that old movie, Escape from New York, look like a Sunday picnic. I think that, you know, the problem is you have all these voters in New York, particularly these younger voters, young women. 38% of his vote came from Jewish voters in New York who apparently don't understand what it means to be in a Hamas sympathizing anti-Semitic Islamist. You know, how that's contradictory from any Jewish voter supporting that. And I think that New York is going to suffer greatly. Let me make this point really, really clear for everybody that lives in New York or knows people in New York. I live in Tennessee. I live in Nashville. We have bugs. We have snakes. We have bears. It's hot. It's humid here. Do not come to Tennessee. You will not like it here. Please don't come to, you know, the bears, the snakes, the mosquitoes. You will not like it here. So as you flee New York, as millions are about to do, don't come here. Arkansas is nice. New Jersey's great. Go to Connecticut. Don't come to Tennessee.
Don't come to Tennessee. I like that. That's a great PR campaign for all the New Yorkers. Don't come to Tennessee. I live in Kansas here. We have tornadoes and 110-degree temperatures, so you don't want to come to Kansas either. So there you have it. We have the campaigns against where people should be traveling to. In fact, Texas wants to put a 100% tariff on those that want to move from New York, which is absolutely hilarious.
Can we build a wall on the Mason-Dixon line and really include Kansas and make Mexico pay for it? Can we do that?
That's right. There we go. I like that idea. We'll make them all pay for it. It is Steve Gill. Go check him out, TriStarDaily.com. Steve, a great guest that usually here on the Todd Starnes radio program. We appreciate it, my friend. Can't wait to do it again soon.
Have a great week. Thank you.
You as well. Appreciate it. Steve Gill, again, political pundit with the TriStar Daily, TriStarDaily.com. We're going to build a wall. We'll just build it around New York, and we'll keep them in there. Hey, you voted it in. You have to live through your social experiment now. No more federal taxes. No more federal subsidies into New York. You got to deal with it. And if you don't like it, you better turn out to vote, because a 10 to 15% voter turnout is not good enough. Got to take a break. Your thoughts on this when we come back on the Todd Starnes radio program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
All right, well, Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes today for a Monday. He'll be back at it tomorrow doing some of the traveling, the flights that are causing some disasters. Apparently a 10% reduction in flights around the nation with the ongoing government shutdown. And I don't know if he's driving or flying, but he's traveling today. But if there's a lot of flights being canceled, then it's obviously congesting the roadways too. So he'll be back at it tomorrow. Don't you worry, but have no fear. We have you covered for today on a Monday, and a lot to cover for sure. We have some new great guests next hour, which I can't wait to talk to. But some other headlines happening today. President Trump has now officially sued the BBC. Now, I know that's really suing somebody else. But hey, when you defame somebody and you say the most outlandish, you know what, then you have to be held accountable. It's not retribution if they're actually lying through their teeth and doing what they can to make you look bad intentionally. This one, for a new documentary that's coming out, that's known as Trump, A Second Chance? Where apparently Donald Trump has sued now the BBC for $1 billion, that's with a B, regarding the claims about the speech that was delivered by President Trump on January 6th of 2021, saying, according to them, that they edited the speech to be malicious and disparaging. The legal threat came in as one of President Trump's lawyers said to the BBC that it was obtained by the New York Times. The letter demanded a full retraction of the documentary, an apology, and what his lawyer said would be payments that, quote, appropriately compensate President Trump for the harm that was caused. They say the BBC is on notice, and according to the letter, all in caps, please govern yourself accordingly. Donald Trump ain't taking no crap, man. He's going to go after these media outlets that are making him look bad. The new documentary called Trump, A Second Chance, that was produced by the BBC. You would think, especially with the BBC, I know they're foreign, I know that they're left-wing progressive, but you would think that you have audio clip, you can play the entire clip, you can put it into context, and the fact that people have a struggle, a hard time putting things into context today, that maybe we should resolve that issue because we have the entire audio and video clip right there. You can listen to it. But why not? Go after them, Trump. Get them. Unleash the hounds. Back after this for hour number three of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Stay here.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. What is up, America? Welcome into the Todd Starnes Radio Program. It is not Todd Starnes today. He is out and about doing his thing. He will be back behind the microphone tomorrow, so get ready for that one. Also, make sure to check out his Newsmax TV program. You can find all the information at toddstarnes.com. But my name is Andy Hoosier. Welcome into it as we are moving that Liberty University Studios from Tennessee out here to Wichita, Kansas at KQAM Radio Studios, the great affiliate of a flagship of mine and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And what a day it has been, trying to drink all the news and information from a fire hose, which has been really exciting because most of it, surprisingly, has been actually some good news. So I'm okay with that. And I want to hear from you from it as well at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Your thoughts on all the news that have been happening. We could potentially see the end of the government shutdown, I would say, by tomorrow. They are in the middle of their 30 hours, I believe it is, of the procedural vote. They had the floor open. Everybody's up and standing and giving their pitch and Democrats complaining. But eight Democrats have stepped aside to vote with Republicans to open up the federal government. We'll play some more of that live as some people hit the floor in just a little bit. But there is a lot of other news going on, too. There has been an announcement from none other than the man himself, Zohran Mamdani, the mayor-elect of the city of New York, announcing some of his chief of staff and a few other positions. Now, this is the guy, and I have it? Because we played it on Thursday last week, and I think Todd talked about it as well on the program last week. After the election, Mamdani essentially came out and said, hey, I know that you helped donate to the campaign. Kind of want you to keep doing that because we need it to grow the bureaucratic state of socialism to oversee how we're going to control you, and we want to do it because the taxpayers won't fund it. So you need to do it as the socialist who doesn't want to have any life choices because the government holds your hand through the entire process. We just want you to go ahead and donate to us so we can hire more people than usual in order to make this transition happen so we're quote-unquote transparent with the people of New York City. It's just kind of funny. So that's the way we wrapped up last week. Then we have this announcement this morning from Zoran Mamdani. Now, I have not listened to a lot of this audio, so I don't know how interesting it may be, but it really does set a precedent that while the government's about to be reopened, and while Democrats are crumbling before their voters and their constituents, and the radical left socialist version of the Democrats are not going to be happy about this at all, this fits right into the movement that people like AOC and Mamdani actually started.
To deliver universal child care, making the slowest buses in America fast and free, and freezing the rent for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants in this city. Dean has been an incredibly influential leader and manager in New York City government and state government for almost 5 decades. No one is better versed in how city government functions, how it engages productively with leadership in Albany, or has a deeper understanding of how to achieve positive outcomes from even the most challenging of situations. When Dean began his career in New York politics in the late 70s, the Bronx was burning. Over his decades of service in the assembly, he rose to manage negotiations over the budget process and stewarded our state into a period of financial stability.
I love how he sounds. He's trying to sound so desperately, trying to sound so professional, so elitist-like, acting like an authoritative leader now. I'm the mayor-elect of New York City. He did say something right at the beginning, though, that I caught. Did you catch it? He was talking about some of the property taxes and the livable rent in the area.
To deliver universal child care.
Making
the slowest buses in America fast and free, and freezing the rent for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants in this city.
Whoa. Now, I don't know we just tried to went to it as it was coming on, so I don't know what the preface was before that, but if that's what his goals are here, then good luck, New York City. See how well that one works out for you, because holy cow. That is taking socialism to an entirely different level here, and that's what Zoran Mamdani wanted. That's what the people that voted for him wanted to see while they're donating to that transition more out of their pocket. So how does this relate to the government shutdown? This is the side of the party that's actually hijacking the party. This is why Democrats kept a government shutdown going on for 40 days. Look into the significance of 40 days if you want to. I find that kind of interesting. Our guest last hour mentioned that, and it's a great point. For 40 days, they tried to hold it hostage. It didn't work, and they failed miserably. I think there's a lot of metaphorical presence there, is there not? Because they tried to push for universal health care. They tried to push for government to tell you what your equity is, which I've never understood the term of equity and why we started the transition to the term of equity, showing that government is going to set the value that you have, the worth that you have, depending on how valuable you are, depending on how much equity you have in you, the government deems that you have inside you, for them to create a socialist utopia. And it failed. After 40 days of punishing you, punishing those that actually need SNAP benefits, punishing those that are struggling right now, for them to try and hold their ground, they're now backing off. And can you imagine the Zoran Mamdani, the AOC radical side of the Democrat Party? They're not going to be happy about this. In fact, you want to hear about violence in the streets and a rising up of protesters in the streets. They're not going to be going after Donald Trump, although they're trying to direct themselves to do so, meaning the Democrat leaders. No, they're going to be mad at their own party, which is why now apparently there's calls for an immediate removal of Chuck Schumer, because he's the one that led this. He's the one that was rallying the troops. He's the one that said we need to stand firm on this issue. And now all the Democrats that are speaking out, Tim Kaine and Senator Shaheen and a few others, are trying to play the victim now of, well, I didn't realize how bad it was. I didn't realize how strongly that Republicans felt on this issue. I was focused on other things. I didn't realize it got to the point that it got to, and now we're in a really bad position. And the Democrats eating crow there, Zoran Mamdani moving forward with his agenda here. His chief of staff, I don't remember her name. It's something very strange, something dash something church. I don't know. But this is what she had to say, just part of her plan to work with the Mamdani administration.
My name is L. Biscard Church.
Yeah,
and
that
I'm
one.
So
that one.
Proud to stand here to accept the role as chief of staff for the incoming Mamdani administration. It is an immense honor to serve the people of this city. It has been emphasized that the mayor-elect and I belong to a new generation. That's true. And as we work to turn the page on a politics devoid of ambition and beholden to special interests, it is incumbent on us to fill this administration with experienced people at all levels who have been on the right side of this fight.
All right. So the new vision, the new generation. Dylan, come on here for just a moment. The new generation and not being beholden to special interests. Who donated to the Zoran Mamdani campaign? Dylan, wasn't it like foreigners and foreign nations that were actually donating to Zoran Mamdani?
Yeah, I think you're correct on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So money coming in from the Middle East, particularly, that were coming in to try and fund Zoran Mamdani in large amounts, by the way. He got a lot of money for that mayor's race, but now he's not beholden to special interest groups. If you're being funded by a foreign entity, foreign Muslim organizations in the Middle East, I would consider that a special interest, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So the socialist takeover's begun, and they're going to look, I'm telling you, it's so important because Chuck Schumer, coming from New York, representing the state of New York in that Senate seat, this is now the party of New York. Zoran Mamdani, arguably outside of the governor of New York, is one of the most powerful guys in the city, in the entire state. He's got a lot of influence now, and this is now going to be the party. And if AOC, that now has a victory, a big notch of a win in her belt for supporting someone like Zoran Mamdani, one of her endorsements finally came to fruition, that she's got more credibility. She's got some momentum. Mamdani's got the momentum. Hochul's trying to defend him and say that if the Trump administration goes after Zoran Mamdani, that the Trump administration, Washington, D.C., is going to have to come through her first as well. That is now the state of politics of the Democrat Party in New York. Chuck Schumer's done. He just lost a major 40-day tug of war, a 40-day war of chicken, playing the game of chicken against Republicans, and he lost. This is a major blow, not just to Democrats, although we're sitting back here relishing in it. This is now the state of the Democrat Party, and it makes sense why they're now calling for his resignation, because they can't stand how he failed them with this radicalism that's taking hold and with this new generation, this new focus. Good luck with that. New Yorkers, I'm telling you, you're going to have a struggle with Zoran Mamdani. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's take a break. When we come back, there is another, I'm telling you, it's just news across the board today, another major announcement. This one coming from the FDA just a couple hours ago, making a big announcement on changes on some of the pharmaceuticals, widening and expanding the ability for healthcare, widening and expanding certain pharmaceuticals for individuals, especially for women, and pills and medication for menopause that we're deregulating while we're having a healthcare discussion with Obamacare and the future of government-run healthcare. A major blow to big pharma, a major blow to big Democrats, and a major blow for the current healthcare status quo, which is good news all around. We'll cover some of that when we come back around the corner on the Todd Starnes radio program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Hey, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program here on a Monday, setting that tone for the whole entire week. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes right now. 901-260-5926. We are, Dylan, again, keep me apprised. I think that there will be more senators speaking on the Senate floor as the ongoing procedural discussion happens, with the potential open for the shutdown at least to be ended relatively soon. Although I am seeing now a headline that says that we could still see the government shutdown drag out for an entire week with a couple issues that could be lingering out there. So we'll keep you apprised as some of that happens. But there is some other big news happening. We have Zoran Mamdani making an announcement of his transitional team, his new chief of staff, a few others that are going to be working with him in the administration, really changing the dynamic of New York City and the Democrat Party as a whole. Chuck Schumer's out, man. He's done. He's got nothing left, and he's very angry about that, which is why he almost seems helplessly defeated on the Senate floor today. That's been kind of funny. So, yeah, I guess we can applaud that one. Also, at the same time, there was an announcement, and for those as we look at the reforming of healthcare and the pushing back of Big Pharma, I've been somewhat skeptical of the whole Trump RX and getting in bed with pharmaceutical companies, lowering prices of pharmaceuticals by getting in bed with them, which we're cutting out the middleman, we're cutting out the red tape, we're lowering prices. In the short term, that's a very good thing, because with the average American on six different pharmaceutical pills, then we want to see prices come down. But at the end of the day, this is maybe my guilty pleasure, I want to see almost the near destruction of Big Pharma. I want it broken up. I want to see a bunch of different companies that are lowering prices. I want to get the middleman out. And there's zero reason why medications need to be really, really expensive. There was a major announcement today on deregulation from the Food and Drug Administration on them wanting to deregulate medications for those that deal with menopause.
The FDA today is announcing that we are going to stop the fear machine, steering women away from this life-changing, even life-saving treatment. The FDA is taking action to remove the black box warnings from estrogen-related products. This is based on a robust review of the latest scientific evidence. Our expert panel at the FDA we conducted a few months ago, some of those doctors and experts are here with us today. We are also approving two new drugs for the treatment of menopausal symptoms. We are listening to doctors who have been waving the flag in the air saying, hey, we have this wrong. We are listening to women who have been challenging the paternalism of medicine. We are listening to female medical students that have demanded more menopause education in the curricula. This administration hears your voice and is not afraid to challenge the medical status quo.
That's really awesome. So a big win here. What does that mean? Now, I will be the first to admit not having menopause, although maybe I could identify as, Dylan, right? We can identify as having menopause. Could we? Maybe?
In this day and age, maybe, yeah.
Why not? You can just identify as having menopause. Why the heck not? So I'm not the most purview on menopausal issues, but this removal of the black box safety warnings, this has been a major fear tactic, and which is drives me wild. This is so weird to me that while we have a movement from the Democrat left that has been pushing the hormones on people, hormone blockers or different hormones for people because they want to transition. If you're a girl that wants to be a boy, then we just give you a whole bunch of hormones. We end your estrogen. We put in some testosterone. We just boost it up a little bit. Or vice versa, if you want to become a girl. And you just reverse these. That you have that that's socially acceptable and doctors are even accepting at the local level for children going through their developmental stage, one of the most important times of their entire life when they're in middle school, early high school. And for some reason, that's socially acceptable. But we have estrogen for women going through menopause. And I guess I know a little bit about it. My wife, for those that don't know, and I don't know if she wants me telling this on the show a lot, but we've been very open about our medical issues, that my wife has lupus. She had to have a full hysterectomy at like 35 years old, so relatively young, had a full hysterectomy. So she's been one that's been trying to find a happy balance of hormones in order for her body to regulate normally, because she doesn't have anything there that actually produces certain hormones. So we've had to deal with those issues. That's why she became a master herbalist, and she goes down the road of holistic medicine and alternative remedies. And yes, we've turned into the full-on hippies by trying to go the natural route. But to us, it's really important because that's what we need to do. At the beginning, though, she was having to deal with some of these different hormone things to inject estrogen into her body. And I remember the conversations that the doctor was having with her about all these different warnings and all the amount of estrogen that could potentially cause breast cancer and all these other problems, medical problems that you could have as a woman if you take too much estrogen. I remember all those fear tactic arguments, which I get, it's true, but they've almost over-scared individuals to not want to take any of them, while at the same time we have this political movement done a lot by woke doctors across the nation that has made it acceptable for children going through a development when they're first starting to produce a lot of different hormones to be taking the same kind. That's kind of weird to me. But now the deregulation essentially saying all of these major black box safety warnings, we're going to get rid of them. You're going to have the conversation with your doctor. You're going to find what's best for you as an individual who has certain medical needs as an individual, not as the blanket umbrella, not as the one size fits all, which is what universal healthcare really is. But you and your doctor are going to sit down and have the conversation. We're going to get rid of the fear mongering. We're going to let you know the potential risks, and you're going to make the decision for yourself. What a wild concept. At the same time announcing that there's going to be more on the market, that means more competition, that means new pharmaceutical companies coming in, challenging the status quo, giving people alternative options. This, to me, is a win across the board. This is a big step for the healthcare industry. While the Democrats are losing the universal healthcare battle with the expansion of Obamacare, we're now internally, through Robert F. Kennedy Jr., through the DHHS, and now the announcement from the FDA today that we're not going to deal with this and we're giving more opportunity for Americans and for women across the country.
If you listen to people, and I've seen this at the bedside, if you listen to the patients, you learn a lot. HRT has saved marriages, rescued women from depression, prevented children from going without a mother. A male-dominated medical profession, let's be honest, has minimized the symptoms of menopause, and as a result, women's health issues have not received the attention that they deserve.
I think this is a great move. This is a big win. So well done. A major announcement earlier today as well with the FDA. Deregulation on hormone therapy, deregulation on estrogen for women. If you're going through those menopausal times, this is an opportunity that we're going to see with more options. This, to me, this goes right in line with the Trump administration in their first time, the 1.0 Trump, when we did the right to try laws. And if there's not a drug that's passed by the FDA approved yet, it's still experimental, but you're on your deathbed, you can try it, even if it hasn't been approved. This is the same way. Deregulation, maybe allow the private market to make its own decisions, allow you as the consumer to make your own decisions. Got to take a break back after this here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Hey, welcome back to it. Happy Monday. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes today. He'll be back at it tomorrow. You can check out his website, toddstarnes.com, if you want to find more on the radio show, more on the Newsmax TV program, and of course all his books that he has. If you want more information on myself, you can find my website at HoosierReason.com, HOOSERReason.com, hailing out of Wichita, Kansas here, KQAM, my flagship and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at MyPillow. MyPillow, as you know, they've announced their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with limited edition products, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal that you will not find anywhere else. And these deals are absolutely insane, as Donald Trump would say.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
Yeah, I think so. So here's what you got. The MyPillow bed sheets, now only $29.88. Any color, any style, even king-sized, regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone, they're gone. The MyTowels are back in stock, but they won't be for long. Get your six-piece of the MyTowel set, regularly priced at $69.98, now $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillow that is even for the queen size, $17.98, king size at $19.98. And for a limited time, when you make your order and your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping and $100 in free digital gifts. Pretty amazing. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Its quantities are extremely limited, so you have to order now. Go again to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS with our friends over at MyPillow. All right, 901-260-5926. There's been a lot of breaking news going on today. Obviously, we're tracking, and when we see some more individuals sitting up on the Senate floor, we'll go to that and watch their discussion with, at least right now, eight Democrats that have sided with Republicans to at least move forward with the procedural vote on the ending of the government shutdown and altered continuing resolution. And what that means, again, is right now they're in their 25, 30 hours, whatever they have to do in order to have open floor discussion. So people pop up, they talk a little bit, they go away, it's quiet. But once that time's done, then they can vote and they can decide whether they want to move it. If they approve it, it goes to the Senate, or I'm sorry, it goes to the House. The House approves it, which Mike Johnson has said that he's ready to go. He's calling everybody back in. We're going to have this big deal. We're going to vote for it, go to the president's desk, and we can finally be done. Now, there is a story that just popped up, and I'm seeing if I can find this again here, that potentially the government shutdown could actually linger on a little bit longer, because at the earliest, we could see this actually end by tonight, tomorrow morning, depending the process, and it could be done. However, according to TheExpress.com, they say that they are concerned about a few of the obstacles in this, including apparently one of those, which is the rehiring of certain federal workers that have been fired during the last month. Under the Trump administration, there were close to 4,000, I want to say. At least last number I heard throughout the month of October, 4,000 employees in three or four different government agencies that were fired or furloughed from Trump, saying, hey, if these aren't priorities to you, then obviously we don't need to have them here, with the ongoing chipping away of the administrative state in Washington, D.C. So if that's where they're haggling, I guess. I mean, I want to see the government open back up again. This bill would extend the continuing resolution until the end of January. It would also extend all of the SNAP benefits and pay for military and everybody else until the end of the fiscal year, which is September of 2026. So that way, if by the end of January this whole issue comes back up again, they don't finish the appropriations process, they can't haggle on a CR, Democrats try to do the same game they did this last time, like they have for 40 days, that showed absolutely no results whatsoever, then we don't have to worry about whether people would lose their benefits again moving forward. So those are the tweaks of what this altered, revised continuing resolution would look like. At the same time, and I want your thoughts here, do we apply it to the government debt or the deficit? Do we apply it towards just giving you and I a check? For some reason, whatever president, whatever administration gives out like stimulus checks, they become very popular. People love stimulus checks. And one-time payments really don't do anything. I've never seen the economy boost because of that. Most people apply it to debt. Maybe they splurge and go do something, but it's very rare. But the entire purpose of growing the economy was letting people have long-term cash in their pocket so that way they can invest it by buying things, and they support a small business. They end up buying products. The products lead to the sales tax. The sales tax goes to the states, goes to the government. We see economic growth. That's how we see GDP growth, right? A one-time stimulus check doesn't really do a whole lot, but people for some reason really, really like it. There was an announcement over the weekend that President Trump could be giving out stimulus checks of $2,000 a person for the tariffs and for how much money that we've had come in for the tariffs. Now, it was at the same time that the conversation was being had about Trump wanting to give money back into the pockets of people for health care, to repeal Obamacare, to give you options in the private market, and for you to be able to purchase your own health care by just giving you a check. So both of them were kind of happening in tandem at the same time, but they were two separate issues, which is kind of interesting. So imagine if you're a family, you get a check for $4,000 for two grand for each of you. And then you get a check from the government and says, hey, we're repealing Obamacare. You can buy your own health insurance, and here's the money for you to do so, because this is the money that you put into it through your taxpayer money that you're now going to get back for you to apply for your own private health options. If that's the case, that's interesting. I don't know that I necessarily want that. And while a $2,000 check or $4,000 for a family sounds nice, I don't know that that necessarily helps. I mean, show of hands, during the COVID pandemic, when all of us got those stimulus paychecks or the child tax credit, a.k.a. the universal child care or the universal basic income that we had seen during the pandemic, And I say that because it wasn't just those that qualified for the child tax credit. It was everybody, whether you actually qualified or not. If you had a child, whether you made enough money to put your tax money into it for the child tax credit or not, you still got a paycheck. So that was essentially a universal basic income that was happening during the COVID-19 pandemic. That when you got that money, what did you do with it? Did that really stimulate your finances? Did that really stimulate your bank account? Or was it just to cover the average bills? And if you're covering the average bills, does that really help the economy? As nice as what maybe $2,000 to $4,000 would sound like for a family, it doesn't really do a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. What Donald Trump really needs to be doing, at least in my opinion, would be applying that to the national debt. And if we have enough money for $4,000 a family times however many hundreds of millions of family households there are in the nation, why would we not apply that to the debt and actually lower it, which we can raise our credit score as a nation or the value of the dollar or actually push back against this insane ongoing spending issue that we have in the country? But I'm curious on your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Two separate issues here. A one-time stimulus payment because of the tariff revenue that's come in, and potentially you receiving a paycheck back to you based on the taxes you put in for Obamacare overall. On the other front, there is a headline today, story from the U.S. Supreme Court, that they've been dealing with this one for a while. I was not aware they were going to make a decision on this. I'm still waiting on the tariff one, which Donald Trump did tweet over the weekend. He was not very happy. So apparently they're not looking too good with allowing Donald Trump to have a global tariff or different tariffs on nations, which is weird because if you can decide to even do a trade deal through the executive branch, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. But the Supreme Court has come out with another decision saying that it will not be revisiting their landmark decision that legalized same-sex marriage across the nation. It was a challenge back in 2015 regarding protections that were granted to couples, where the justices had rejected the appeal that was brought by an individual named Kim Davis, if you remember this story, a former Kentucky County clerk that refused to issue a marriage license to a same-sex couple due to her religious beliefs. And the court declined, apparently, to take up that appeal without explanation and without any notes dissented on the issue, which they say is not uncommon when a court declines to actually hear the case. However, that had tipped to Fox News on that piece. But with the same-sex case issue, the hope by some was that because of her religious views, that she was allowed to not grant a same-sex marriage license in the state of Kentucky, being the county clerk. I don't know how much Todd's actually covered that issue on the program here. There is, in my opinion, a difference between someone who's in the position as a public worker, as a county clerk, and someone who's like a baker in the state of Colorado that was asked to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple for their wedding that declined, and that got a lot of issue, and he actually won that case in Colorado. There's been a couple cases out of Colorado, actually, for that one, of the baker that would not make the cake. If you're a private business, you can decide on who your clientele is going to be. And people can agree or disagree on whether that should have been the right thing for him to do. If you're a religious individual, it violates your values, then you should have the right to say, sorry, I'm not going to actually bake the cake. I choose not to fulfill this order. Don't take, you know, I'm not going to take your money. Do your thing. As a county clerk, as someone who works in the government, and that's the law you have to abide by, I mean, I understand her religious view, and if you don't like it, then that's probably time for you to leave that position because it doesn't fit your moral values of what you actually stand for. But it's kind of like law enforcement. If they decide, hey, I don't want to arrest this person because I feel that they're a victim of society, so therefore I'm not going to enforce the law, kind of the same principle there, isn't it? If you just, and we've seen that quite a bit. Well, I take that back. In fact, California is one of those situations where police just don't want to enforce it because the prosecutors don't do anything. The bad guy's back out on the street within a couple hours, and there's really not a lot of change at all. So I understand why they get a little frustrated and don't do their job. But if someone says, hey, I believe in the woke system, and someone's just a victim, they lived in a bad environment, we need to rehabilitate them, I don't want to throw them in jail, I'm just not going to enforce the law. And in fact, civil rights advocates that openly say, well, there's no such thing as crime. We just deem crime to be bad because we want to oppress black folk or something, which is not true at all. But we've had Al Sharpton and others that have openly advocated for that. There's no such thing as an actual criminal, just people that are doing things that white people have deemed bad in society. That's the rules that we've lived under And that's what we're trying to reject in society now, to say there actually is a right and wrong. There actually is a good and bad. We need to change this. That if you are a court person or if you're a clerk and you don't believe that something should be right or wrong, that's not really your place to abide or not abide by. You're, as a public entity, you have to work as a government employee, and you have to kind of follow along with those issues. So the Supreme Court just didn't hear the case at all, making the headlines on Fox today. Right or wrong? I want to get your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear some more of the clips from what's going on in the Senate right now, the potential government shutdown. Why could we see this even linger beyond the next day or two after the procedural vote happening right now in the U.S. Senate? It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program.
November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
Hey, welcome back to it. Todd Starnes Radio Program. Last segment, man, it flies right on by. There's so much to cover here. By the way, what we just talked about, the potential checks that the Trump administration wants to give the low and middle class Americans. He said not rich individuals, the millionaires and billionaires. All right, Bernie Sanders, that's it.
It is totally absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Bernie Sanders, very angry, by the way, with what's happening with the potential end of the government shutdown. But the potential paychecks, the one-time stimulus checks of the American people, is it something that we should do, or should we apply it all to the federal debt? There was a post on Truth Social just a couple hours ago, actually, from Donald Trump that addressed this issue and said that we have enough money to do both. Dylan, I knew that we were bringing in a lot of money from tariffs. I didn't realize it was that much. How much money do you think that would be to pay every American family and middle and lower class Americans $2,000 a person, so essentially $4,000 a household, and pay down a $38 trillion debt in this nation? How much money would that have to be?
What, multiple trillions, maybe?
I mean, like, a lot of money.
That's a lot.
A lot. Here's what Donald Trump said on True Social just, again, a couple hours ago. All money left over from the $2,000 payments made to low and middle class USA citizens from the massive tariff income pouring into our country from foreign nations, which will be substantial, will be used to, in all caps, substantially pay down national debt. Thank you for the attention of this matter. So apparently we're bringing in so much money that we're going to pay off $38 trillion in national debt, which is what we're at now, and give every single individual in lower and middle class incomes a $2,000 paycheck, a one-time stimulus check. Now, if we have that much coming in tariffs, which I knew it was a lot, but that's taking it to a whole new level. And I think this is maybe the anticipation of not what we have in there right now, but what we're projected to have later on because of the ongoing tariffs that we're bringing in. So maybe it's just looking long term of what we could potentially have. If that's the case, then yeah, I say bring it on. I could use a $2,000 check. I could use a stimulus check between myself and my wife with $4,000. We could do some good with that. Maybe it's not going to stimulate the economy. It's going to pay off some debt. We're going to get, you know, ahead on some things. That's what most Americans like to do, which is why one-time stimulus checks never really do a whole lot for the economy. But at the same time, like, hey, if we're going to pay off the national debt with $38 trillion, why the heck not? Pretty wild. 901-260-5926. Is there anybody speaking right now on the Senate floor, or are they just lazy now?
They're just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Yeah, I love watching these clips. All the kids that are interns there that are working for government, the ones that stand there, and their entire job is literally just to open the door. You want to talk about wasteful government spending? That would probably be part of it, would it not? Just to have, let's see, just what I can see on the Senate floor right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 students that open doors for people as they walk in and out of the Senate floor.
They don't have enough doors.
They need more doors. They don't have enough doors. There's two in the front and I think two in the back where the people come and go. That you don't need that many kids. What are we doing here? I'm telling you, Republicans, I'm glad we're about ready to open up the government. Hopefully, it's a 36-hour window where they had this open floor debate on the Senate floor. I get it. Cool. I think, and I'm glad that Democrats lost. I'm glad that for the first time we're seeing a major hit on the Democrat leadership and Chuck Schumer's about out. I get that. That's awesome. I think that we missed the opportunity. We could have done so much in government to do some major reforms. We really could have. We could have done the Obamacare, boom, done, end with it. We could have cut even more federal employees, even if the federal judges with their nationwide injunctions where they're not supposed to do that, oh, look, another one just walked over, too. There are 13 of them. We have 13 now door openers of students there on the Senate floor, not
like
including
five
the House.
Per door.
Yeah, they just stand there. Apparently, you have to have two on the inside, two on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only way that I could see those numbers working. That's strange. But we had a huge opportunity, really, just to clean House and hit the reset button in Washington, D.C. And we didn't quite do that. We still had some win. It was an unnecessary government shutdown. Totally understand. But we had some huge opportunity here. And Donald Trump seems to be the one that, while he was the one that needed, I guess, to negotiate, even though he had nothing to do with the government shutdown, the threat of just giving people a paycheck to choose their own health care. Oh, look, like two more. I'm sorry. I'm baffled by what's going on here. Two more just walked in and opened up the doors for the door openers to go through. There you go.
This play by play is just, you know.
I know this is I'm sorry. This is better play by play than when Donald Trump did a play by play for NFL games. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah.
We're now watching C-SPAN live on the Senate floor of door opening students open doors for other door opening students. That's a whole nother level. This is stimulating radio. I apologize for the Todd Sarnes radio listeners here. I think that we can still have an opportunity to do some major reforms, and I'm excited to see what happens. But let's get this government open. Let's get it through the end of January, and let's get the appropriations process done. Major reforms happening for the first time in a long time. I think you're optimistic, and I think I'm optimistic about what we can do moving forward. All right, Todd back at it again tomorrow. There, we'll see where the process is with the government shutdown. The future of the Democrat Party, expect in the next day or so, expect the end of Chuck Schumer, where he announces he'll either not be running for re-election in 2028 or he could be stepping down early. The future of that seat open to AOC. But Todd, we love you. We thank you so much for allowing us to sit in and have some fun. Todd will be back at it again tomorrow. Make sure to check out his Newsmax TV program as well. Until then, we'll see you on the radio on the Todd Sarnes Radio Show.
You know that big bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right? It doesn't clean as well.
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Oh, let me make an announcement.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Stop paying for watered-down detergents. Pay for clean. If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Pods. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.